Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
9:37, Dean Richards, Sunday morning. WGN, happy Mother's Day. We move into our weekend health segment with Dr. Jeremy Silver, Director of Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Dean, good morning.
And because of Mother's Day today, I thought we should focus on women's health issues today. Something that we have focused on this show for decades, really, is breast cancer. The many documentaries that we've done and town hall meetings that we've done over the years, it's constantly changing, I think constantly improving. Where are we exactly now in the fight against breast cancer? It's a fairly curable disease now, isn't it?
It is, or I should say, it certainly can be. And I think, you know, there are so many different options in terms of treatment. We're detecting it better and sooner. And so, you know, if you look at the five-year survival rates for all stages of breast cancer, it's almost 91%. Which is pretty darn good, but still, I think more work to do.
Are there certain red flags that women should look for right now, telling them if they aren't going in for mammography, if they aren't going in for regular checkups, certain red flags that should tell them this might not be a bad thing to have a doctor check out?
Yeah, so certainly age is the biggest flag. Most breast cancers are found in women who are 50 years and older, and all the experts recommend screening starting around 47. And so if you're in that age group, you certainly want to be talking to your doctor about screening. But even if you're not, even if you're a younger female, new lumps or bumps in the breast or the armpit. And Dean, I should say that the breast, when we talk about the anatomy, really includes kind of the side of the chest wall and the armpit. So for those women that are doing self-exams, or if you're thinking, well, where should I be looking? It's kind of the whole region, not just the breast itself. But lumps or bumps, any kind of thickening or swelling, any kind of changing of the skin, whether it's a change in color or flaking or even an irritation, certainly if the nipple area is abnormal or retracting, if there's discharge, any kind of change to the shape or configuration really should trigger anyone to say, hey, maybe I should go get this checked out.
Yeah, and when you say anyone, that's an important word. Because while we're talking about this with relation to women's health, all the things that you just said also can apply to men also, right? Men get breast cancer as well.
They do. For every 100 women diagnosed, one of those cases is going to be a man. And so, certainly age, risk factors, and men that for whatever reason may be on a hormone therapy or have another cancer that produces estrogen, that's the key. It's in many ways related to the overproduction of estrogen. Definitely shouldn't be afraid to go see their doctor and get checked.
Are there certain types of women? You mentioned age, but are there certain demographic groups which are more likely to get breast cancer than others?
Well, interestingly, it's the number two cancer diagnosed. They say skin cancer is more common in women. So I guess number two, second to skin cancer for females. Except for Hispanic women, for whatever reason, it's number one for them. And I'm not understanding fully why that is, but there you have it. And certainly, if there's someone in the family that had breast cancer, the genetics play a significant role, like they do in just about everything else. That would be a risk as well.
Now, how can you describe the kind of progress that we've made when we started doing these breast cancer town hall meetings, these specials? I think it was 1996 that we did the first one. the way to treat this was to slash, cut off the breast. There was poison it with chemotherapy, or there was burn it with radiation. Have we evolved beyond those three methods?
Well, I think yes, and in multiple ways. As you indicate, there's different ways to go about treating breast cancer. There's drugs, there's surgery, there's radiation, there's complementary therapy, and in the drug category, we have immunotherapy, which is basically drugs that target the immune system of the cancer to knock it out. We're able to target the radiation more and reduce it, so it's not as many weeks of radiation. You can do genetic testing to figure out, you know, what the responsiveness of the cancer is going to be to various drugs. And, of course, surgery is becoming more and more targeted as well. So instead of just going for a total mastectomy, you can do things like lumpectomy, where you can just get a piece of the cancer and retain the breast itself. So lots of improvements, and you know, we've talked about AI in the past. I have a feeling that that may play a role going forward in terms of diagnosis and treatment as well.
How, like, in what way? How could AI be applicable to that?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things that AI does, you know, it's kind of a catch-all term, but it, essentially, super powerful computers that can, you know, map out, potentially map out a cancer and identify what it's going to do before it does it, and maybe attack it that way. Or alternatively, if you're an oncologist, if you're a cancer doctor, and you've got a patient that presents with, you know, let's say there's 17 variables to their presentation. Those variables might be their age, their race, whether they've had cancer before, whether it's in the family, whether they've been treated, you know, what kind of medications they're on, and so on and so forth. And you plug all those variables into a computer, and the computer then spits out, oh, well, this is the exact treatment they need, and this is going to be the prognosis. And if this happens next, you can do this, and it maps out the entire treatment pathway so that the human error is kind of taken out of the equation, and you have the analytics kind of driving the ship.
Yeah.
So I think those are a couple of ways where it might be pretty beneficial.
847 area code writes, rarely included in discussions about breast cancer is lymphedema, a lifelong incurable condition of pain and swelling that can arise from cancer treatment. It says there, I think medical professionals should discuss it as a top priority. What can you tell us about lymphedema?
Sure. It's brutal, first of all, to the person who wrote in. You're absolutely right. And it does impact quality of life. As we talk about treatments for cancer, there's always going to be side effects. And so one of the things that can happen as you're going through your treatment pathway for breast cancer is they want to take out lymph nodes in the area of the cancer to identify whether the cancer spread or simply to remove them because they're diseased. And so what happens is, if you can imagine, these lymph nodes help drain all the fluid from your arm. So all the blood flow and the venous return coming back from your arm travels through those lymph nodes. And if you take them out, you're taking out kind of the pathway for fluid to travel back to the heart. And so that fluid can build up in the arm, and so you'll often see, if you work with people that have had breast cancer and been treated, particularly those who've had lymph node dissection or removal, their arm, that one arm becomes extremely swollen, and it never goes back to normal. And you can imagine that would be extremely uncomfortable and a cosmetic issue and an annoyance. And there's no treatment for it. If somebody came up with a treatment for lymphedema, they'd be a trillionaire.
If you have questions or a comment that you'd like to make, 312-981-7200 is our telephone number to call or text. Right back with Dr. Jeremy Silver after the 948 Dean Richards Sunday Morning with Dr. Jeremy Silver, the Week in Health. And Diana's on at 312-981-7200. Diana, good morning and happy Mother's Day to you.
Well, thank you. Same to any of your mothers.
Thank you very much.
I had a mastectomy with lymph node dissection 30 years ago. Am I still at risk for injuries to that hand, like with manicures or blood pressure and things like that?
And we have lost Dr. Silver. Our phone gremlin, once again, has returned.
Well, you've got my question. If he comes back, you can ask him, and I'll be listening.
Yeah, well, in fact, he's going to be back on the line here in just a second. So hang on 1 second so you can actually ask him the question. And the real question is, what is the mystery of this particular segment where we lose contact with our guest, every single guest? 312-981-7200 as we return with Dr. Silver. And let me see here. Dun, dun, dun. Yep, here we go. All right. Let me see here. All right, Diana, you're still there, right?
I'm here.
You are here. And Dr. Silver, do we have Dr. Silver? Yes, we do. Dr. Silver, you are there now with Diana. Please repeat your question for the doctor, Diana.
Okay. I had a mastectomy with lymph node dissection 30 years ago. I have not had a problem with lymphedema. I wonder, am I still at risk for cuts like manicures, blood pressure readings, and things like that? Am I still at risk for developing that if something went wrong?
Hi, thanks for the question. You know, I would say I would be cautious. I think the risk is probably lower, but I'd still, do the blood pressure cuff on the other arm like you referenced and treat it as if it were an issue so that it never becomes an issue.
Well, that's what I've been doing, and people say still after all this time. And, I'm on the cautious side anyway. So thank you very much for confirming that.
Yeah, and thank you for the call very much. Also on the subject of lymphedema, 847 area code said, I just had a lymphedema bypass a few weeks ago at Northwestern. Is the doctor saying that this is not going to work because he said there's no treatment for lymphedema?
So lymphedema bypass is, just for those at home, is a minimally invasive surgery that reroutes lymph channels, and it certainly can be effective. I shouldn't say there's no... That was really a misnomer. I shouldn't say there's no treatment, but I think for those that have experienced it, the expectation that it will get better, I think it's going to be it's going to vary from person to person. But I personally haven't seen a patient who had that treatment, so I don't have a lot of experience with it. But I wish you the best of luck, and I hope that it's successful for you.
Yeah, clearly a lot of interest in this. Here's Dolores. You're on with Dr. Silver on WGN. Hello.
Hey, Dr. Silver. I have a similar question to the lady prior. I had a breast removed in 1992 with several, I think 17 lymph nodes removed. They were all fine. And I had a second breast head to be removed in 2000.
And we have lost the doctor again. Unbelievable.
I'm here, Dean.
Oh, you are still there. We lost the caller.
I think we lost the person, yes.
We lost the caller. Oh, great. Okay. Well, I think she was going to ask us a similar question. Clearly, there's lots of interest in this. Here's one, for example, from the 847 area code. I had lymph nodes removed 27 years ago and have a swollen right arm for 25 years. And then it went into my hand 3 years ago. I was always told that no blood pressure, no shots, and now I need to have my shoulder replaced. How will that work without making my arm worse? So the plot thickens for this particular person.
Yeah, that's an interesting problem to have. I think probably what I would do is talk to your cancer doctor if you haven't, and if it's too remote and the cancer's been a long time. Talk to the surgeon about your concerns because they probably have encountered something like that previously. And because of the number of cancer survivors that then need, you know, things like joint reconstructive surgery, they may have dealt with that before and they may have a solution, or there may not be an obvious solution, and it's a matter of balancing the risks and benefits.
Yeah, let's get to a couple of other questions here. Another one that affects a lot of women is thyroid issues. 815 area code says, how do I get my thyroid checked? I've done nothing differently, but I continue to gain weight. I think thyroid, the checking of the thyroid is a blood test. Isn't that right? Because I've had a thyroidectomy. I've had my thyroid out years ago, and I'm constantly being checked with a blood test with that.
Yeah, certainly it would start with a physical exam with your physician touching the thyroid and just examining it, in the office. And then the next step, as you mentioned, Dean, is blood tests to see what the thyroid hormones are doing. And then from there, potentially imaging to look at the thyroid, probably with ultrasound to start. So it's very kind of simple and non-invasive to initially evaluate, and then from there.
Yeah, I was just getting a routine physical. And you know how you doctors like to put the stethoscope up on your back and, you know, tell you to take deep breaths. Take deep breaths, tape. While the doctor was doing that, he just rested his hand sort of on my shoulder. And while he had his hand resting there, he said, that's funny. I feel a couple of lumps in your thyroid area. Let me feel. Yeah, let's investigate that a little bit. That something's not right. And it turns out that there were some tumors on my thyroid that took the whole thing out, I think 2007. And I've been on thyroid medication ever since then, every single day since then. So definitely do get that checked out. Doctor, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. I thought we were going to get through the segment without our phone glitches this week. I'd have no idea what is going on, but I sure wish they'd fix it. Dr. Jeremy Silver, as always with us here on Sunday morning, the medical director of emergency medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday today, Doctor. Thank you.
And you as well, Dean. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms, including my wife and mother as well.
Coming up later on the show for our A-list interview today, going back into the vaults for a conversation with one of TV's favorite moms, Doris Roberts, who was a frequent visitor on our show when she was starring in Everybody Loves Raymond. As Marie Barone, we'll share that conversation with you later. It's always fun, isn't it, Chwani, on Mother's Day?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about TV moms, movie moms, stuff like that. So we'll get into all that later on. Plus, on a serious and very sad note, we remember our entertainment colleague, Sam Rubin, who was, the entertainment reporter for our sister station, KTLA, in Los Angeles. He was heard here on WGN Radio back in the late 90s and early 2000s. He did an entertainment segment on our WGN TV morning news. He passed away, shockingly, at the age of 60.